How many of you are one of two siblings or more, or have had two children or more? Raise your hand. Okay, all right, good. And of your two children or more, which one is your favorite that you love the most, more than any of the others? Raise your hand. Do you have a favorite that you love more than the others? Way more? Anybody? Any favorites? Okay, you've got a favorite. Were you the favorite, Bob? No. How many of you think you were not the favorite of your parents? Raise your hand. Okay, good. Except for a couple of you, you feel loved. All right. How many of you think you were the favorite of your parents? Okay, all right. We got a few loved, beloved children. So, understandably, most of you, if not all of you, did not raise your hand when I asked, which of your children do you love more? Because instinctually, although reality may be a little different and perception even more so by your children, you want to love them all the same, right? You want to love your kids equally, even though maybe behind closed doors in private, you might acknowledge, I like this one a little bit more than the other, or this one causes me less stress and misery than the other. We all want to love our kids equally because it is just and fair. And that's why you didn't raise your hand when I asked, which one do you love more than all the others? And so we would naturally presume then that in light of this idea of justice and fairness and equality, that then God would love all of us equally, would he not? But if you listen carefully to the first reading today from the book of Exodus, that is actually not true. God actually has favorites. God, according to the Hebrew scriptures, loves some of his kids more than the others. I know this may sound shocking, unfair, and disadvantageous if we're not one of them. But if you read carefully the Hebrew scriptures, it is very clear. God has, in the traditional language of the church or more recent, a preferential option for the poor, the widow, the orphan, and the alien. In political terms, the illegal immigrant. He has a preferential love for them. The Hebrew scriptures could not be more clear. In spite of alleged Christians claiming horrible things against those who are undocumented, the aliens that are invading our borders, for God and those who have a heart like God, for those who are Christian or of the Jewish faith, they know the scriptures and they desire to be like God. And God could not make it more clear that he does love some of his kids more than others. The widow, the orphan, the alien, the poor. Why? Because they're the most vulnerable. It's not that God doesn't love me not enough. I'll put it that way, right? I'm a U.S. citizen. I was born in this country. Their parents were born in this country. I grew up upper middle class, real comfortable. I wasn't poor. I was never an orphan. My mom was never widowed until just very recently, well into my adulthood. I've never been an alien. But God loves me enough to become a saint. There's no doubt. God loves me enough to be a saint. But those who are most vulnerable, he loves more because of their vulnerability. He has a particular heart for them because God, in revealing himself in Christ Jesus, shows us that to be a man means to have a particular heart and effort to care for the most vulnerable in our society, from the unborn to the illegal alien in political terms, as they're horribly called, to the elderly who cannot care for themselves, to the terminally ill, and to everybody in between. For those who are most vulnerable, God has a particular love for them, and his followers go out of their way to provide, protect, and care for them. So if you identify with the widow, the orphan, the alien, or the poor, know that it is not my opinion, but scripture that is abundantly clear. God has a particular love for you. He loves you more than me because of your vulnerability. And the scriptures are clear. He will fight for you. He will defend you. My wrath will flare up and kill you with the sword if you do them wrong, he tells us. If you, the orphan, the widow, the alien, the poor, ever cry out to God, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will flare up against your enemies. And I will kill them by the sword, and by my hand their wives will be widows and their children orphans. Such is the passionate love of God for the most vulnerable. He is your defender, your protector, and your provider. But you might say, but Father, this is a great revelation. I'm glad to know I'm loved more by my heavenly Father when I think I wasn't loved more by my earthly parents. But how come I still struggle in poverty? Or how come I was left orphan? Or how come I was left a widow? Or how come I'm still undocumented 20, 30 years later? Well, that's a complicated answer. And there are many factors well beyond our control in some ways. But there is one factor that plays into that question and the answer for it that we have complete control over. And that is when God wants to defend us, protect us, and provide for us, do we run from him and not allow him to do it? Do we avoid him at all costs so that despite his deep desire, we do everything possible to make it impossible for him to do that for us? Well, how do we do that or not? The gospel tells us very clearly, if you want God to be your defender, your provider, your protector, if you want his wrath to flare up against your enemies, you who are the most vulnerable, or you who are like me, still loved enough by God to become a saint, then keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. That's our response to his initiative of love. Any relationship requires two people. And we know that God loves us radically to the extreme in his son, Christ Jesus. But for there to be a relationship that is salvific, we have to respond. Maybe you were dating someone or you had a crush on someone in high school or middle school or as an adult, and that person wanted nothing to do with you for whatever reason. I'm going to assume you're not married to them. Why? Because you want to marry them, but they didn't want to marry you, or vice versa. And so there's no relationship. In a similar way, if we do not respond to God's initiative of love, there's no relationship. There's no salvation. So our response to him loving us enough to be saints, and even more so if we're vulnerable, is by keeping the commandments. Now, we all know, at least there are 10 commandments. We may not know them in order, or maybe not even know all of them. But the Jewish peoples, to avoid breaking the 10, called a hedge around the 10 of 613 commandments, one for each day of the year and one for each bone of the body. And these 613 commandments you kept so that you didn't break the 10, the major ones. This was the great controversy between the Sadducees and the Pharisees over which is the most important commandment or which are greater than the others of the 613. There was no agreement. The scholar of the law that asked Jesus this question was putting him into a trap because no one could agree on it. And they were fighting between themselves over this very question. You know, I doubt as much as our elder Jewish brothers and sisters in the faith studied the Torah that most people knew all 613 commandments. And I would shudder to think that maybe even most Catholics cannot tell you 1 through 10, the commandments. It can be hard to remember. But Jesus makes it so simple today. Two commandments, that's it. Just remember two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So if you want God to be your defender, if you want his wrath to blaze up against your enemies, if you want him to fight your battles, keep his commandments. You might say, well, I'm not experiencing that. Then I ask you, are you loving the Lord your God with all your heart? When you pray, do you pray with your heart? Or is it our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that kingdom come, or the Broncos going to win today, on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day, what am I going to have for breakfast? Our daily bread. Are we praying with our heart? Or are we just saying words because it's a routine and a habit? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Put your heart into your prayer and into the words you say, whether they're memorized prayer or vocalized prayer from the heart. Secondly, with all your soul, you're here. But as every fiber of your being say, Lord, I desire you above all things. With all your mind, are you studying the faith? Are you reading scripture on your own? Are you taking classes we're offering here in the faith or elsewhere in the archdiocese? Or is ignorance bliss? If I don't know it, I'm not responsible, which is not true. We have an obligation to learn the faith so that we can follow it. If we're not doing these things, then we're not keeping that first of the two commandments. And some of you may say, maybe a super hyper religious person, that's kind of scary. They're very religious, right? Which means usually they're super mean. But maybe you're keeping the first commandment, even to the point, unfortunately, maybe not from the heart, to where you scare other people away that are coming to church to figure things out, and they walk in with their Starbucks and their bubble gum, and they shouldn't be doing that, of course, but what are you going to do? Yell at them, maybe. And so maybe we're keeping the first commandment, better or worse, but then we're breaking the second. In that example, do you love your neighbor as yourself? Are you loving your neighbor as God does? When that person comes in chewing gum, sipping Starbucks, and totally inappropriately dressed for church, do we scream and yell at them or give them a dirty look? Or the family with three kids trying to survive and they're yelping and yapping and making noise, do you give them the dirty look? Get out. Or do you show them a sign of love and smile? I understand, it's not easy. I've been there. Are we loving one another as God has loved us? When we keep these two commandments, we can be certain that the promise of God in today's first reading will be true in your daily lived experience, especially if you're God's favorites, the widow, the orphan, the poor, and the alien. But even if you're not, his love is enough, sufficient to make us a saint. So you don't have to memorize 613 commandments. Thank the Lord. Look, you should know the 10. But even if you can't do that, at least start with these two. Christ has made it clear. And when we live those two commandments with all our heart, soul, mind, another passage says your strength, loving the Lord with your strength, the men that were shoveling the snow off of the stairs today, you are loving the Lord with your strength. It's not your house. Literally, it's our house. But you did it with your strength in the cold. When you love him with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, you can be certain the Lord will come to your aid. He will hear your cry. He will defend you and provide for you. If only you love him in response and your neighbor as yourself. Then, whether you're his favorite or not, one thing is certain, you're on the path to sainthood.